We are going to learn what, to date, is the what I found to be the most difficult parak. I now know that there's a unit here going from Nun Beis through the end of the Sefer, and I also realize that we're not going to understand what we're doing in the Nun Aleph through the end of the Sefer. We're not going to understand Nun Beis until we finish and go back. So we're going to do the best we can. And then we will go back and recap and show how this comes together, especially because the call to action at the end, it seems like a very cerebral parak that we're going to learn now that doesn't have any practical application, where the exact opposite is true. Okay, there's tremendous practical application, and therefore it becomes all the more important to pay attention to the details that will become clear as we conclude the first Sefer of Tanya in the coming weeks. Okay, so Perek Nun Beis is on page 144. And we go back to refer to the intro that we learned 2 weeks ago about how the neshama functions in the body. What we had there were three levels of neshama, okay? And he uses the neshama as an analogy based on the posting of Psoriach Zelikai, that one can use their own body to see how the Rebbeinu Shlom operates in the world. And that is to say, the neshama is found equally everywhere in the body. There's no more neshama per se in the brain than there is in the fingertip. Okay, they both have equal level of neshama. There are different levels of gilui ha-neshama, of revelation of neshama. That's different. The gili aneshama in the brain is greater than the gili aneshama is in the fingertip, okay? Then there's also a customization, if you will, of the type of flow of energy that goes from the brain to the finger, or to use a more practical example, meaning the finger feels, the eye sees, the ear hears, and therefore the type of energy that flows from the neshama to any given component is going to be different because the ear doesn't want feeling stuff. And we know, Rahman al-Islam, what happens when those things get mixed up in people who are not well and their noses begin to hear and their ears begin to smell and so on. We know that there are institutions that house people like that. And it's a really serious issue. So he's using that as a paradigm for to help us understand the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom in the world. And I've always wanted to use this word, which is ubiquitous. Okay, I have no idea what it means, but it belongs right here. So that is, there's no more essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Uganda than there is Lahavdil Elef Alfi Havdalos in Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh. Essence. Okay, the Rebbeinu Shalom is equally found there. But Gilui, as far as revelation goes, there's greater revelation in Eretz Yisrael than there is in New York City. There's greater revelation in Yerushalayim than there is in Haifa. There's greater revelation on the Har HaBayis than there is in Yerushalayim. And there's greater revelation in Kodesh HaKadoshim than there is in the Heichal. Okay? So, when it comes to revelation, there are major distinctions. We're going to discuss tonight the mechanics. Okay? And it's going to seem to be very cerebral, but the summary of all of it is going to become that when we put on our tefillin in the morning, we're keeping the world going. Okay? That it is our action, our limud haTorah, our tefillah, that's really making all the difference in the world. Mamish, no puns intended, okay? It is creating the world moment by moment. Let's see it inside. Kamo yishe b'nishmas ha'adam. Just like when it comes to the soul of the human. Ik gilui klolis ha'chiyus. Hu b'mayichin, the main place of revelation of the chiyus, of the mayach, is in the mayach, is in the brain. And, as we discussed last time, v'chol hei varim mikablim or v'koyach levad. Hameir lehem, and all of the limbs receive only an emanation. They receive a energy burst, if you will, that illuminates the limb, that illuminates the particular aver, mimikar giloi hachiyu shebamaychen, from its source of the revelation, meaning the essence of the neshama is everywhere. But what energizes the eye to see is, as they call it in Yiddish, an upshine, a ray of the neshama's revelation that exists in the brain, and that goes forth to the eye to see. Is kachama mashal derech mashal, so too, using this as a parable, ikur gilui klolis hamshachas hachius, the main revelation of the general withdrawal of vitality, to allow the world and all of its creations to come into existence, they start out contained in what's called, and again, we can't attribute to Hashem any physical manifestations, but they are called the intellectual components of godliness. Chachma bina das, they are referred to as the higher midas, the meichin. They are contained, they're enclosed in the wisdom of Torah and in the mitzvahs of Torah. We'll get to that. There's a big separation between those two things as far as the wisdom of Torah goes and the mitzvahs. The revelation of this hamshacha, Humikur Hachius Asher Hoilomis Mikablim Kol Echad Biprotis. This is the source of the sustenance of the worlds, because all of the worlds receive each one of them in detail. Raka Ara, all they receive is a illumination, Mispashetes Umeira Mimkurze, which is illuminated and shines from the source. Kedimyon Or HaMispashet Me'ashemesh. He says, let's use another parable. And he's going to use this later on when we get now to the crown jewel of Tanya, which we're learning next, which is the... No, we did that already. Shar Yechid V'Emunah.
We did it out of order?
Yeah, we did it at El last year. So now... the sun becomes the sun, and the sheath becomes the mashal. It's the only time when he quotes the Baal Shem HaKodesh in the Sefer. So he says, let's use the sun as a mashal. V'keiches evori aguf me'amayach hanal, and so too the energy sent to any one of the limbs from the brain. U'mikar zeh hu anikra almo dizgal. Here we go. This source, he's going to give it four names, is called the revealed world, in contrast to Alma Diskasia, which is the concealed world, meaning a world that we have absolutely no shaykhus to, that there's no understanding of. This is already a revealed world that we have a relationship to. Or name number two is called Matanusa, which is the queen. That's name number two.
What is the thing we're naming?
These are the revealed world, or that which is going to allow the individual Olamos to come into existence and to continue to exist. Name number three is Imatata, the lower form of the mother. Okay. Name number four, which is the name which is we're all familiar with, is the term called Shechina. Okay, these are all synonyms. Okay, now, Miloshen, it comes from the language of, what does Shechina mean? Miloshen v'shachanti b'soicham. Hashem says, I'm going to dwell in their midst. What is that all about? So he explains, Al Shem, you know why it's called the Shechina? Because shemikor zeh, this source, this is the beginning of, not of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's the beginning of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher Mamshichu Meir Leilamis, that he draws or draws from himself and allows the worlds to come into existence. Bibchinis Gili, in a revealed way. Now, so there is the Almighty himself, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the Ein Sof himself, untouchable, unseeable, intangible, completely concealed, no way to relate to. Then there is that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to emanate from himself, which is this concept of Shechina that he's talking about, that allows the worlds to come into existence, which requires, as he's going to explain, forms of concealment that allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanations to be tangible. Okay? Umim Karza, from this source, Nimshach, we can draw L'chol Echad, to each world, Ha'or V'chius Prati, its individual form of emanation of light, Haroi Loi, which is appropriate for that world. V'shoichein, and again, this is where these languages are not so appropriate, meaning they're impossible to describe because light doesn't dwell in something as we are familiar with it. But here, v'shoichein u'mislabesh b'toicham lach yosem, what we need to understand about godly energy is that it pervades everything in order to give them their existence. Without the godly energy that exists within everything, it would cease to exist. And that's on all three levels. It's in time, it's in space, it's in neshama. Everything has to be suffused with godliness because otherwise it just stops to exist. Ulekach nikra eim abonim al derech Moshe. He says, let me try explaining the term eim abonim. He says, what's the purpose of eim abonim? A mother sees to it that her children have what they need to exist. That's why this term Shechina is also called Eim Abanim, because it is that which accommodates. Now, God forbid, you see even now with tiny infants, that if they were to nurse from a woman who's been nursing already for months and months, the child would choke. Because you can't accommodate a newborn infant, right? You can't start them out on chult. A chult doesn't work for a newborn because that's not Eim Abanim. Only a father would do something stupid like that. And Eim Abanim is, so a mother understands that each child, kefi erkai, you feed each child according to their level of digestion. And so too when it comes to clothing, and so too when it comes to anything that the child needs. So here too, their mother is going to provide. The Shechina is going to provide each olam with the sustenance that olam needs, according to what its level of receptibility is. Knesset Yisrael, Shemim Karza Netzlu Neshamas Datzilus. This source of Knesset Yisrael is the source of the higher souls. V'nivru Neshamas Debriya, and there are Neshamas of Atzilus, and then there's Neshamas of Bria, and each Neshama has to be custom tailored to what that Neshama needs to sustain it. But v'kulon, all of those neshamas, einan rak mihispashtus hachiyus va'or me'amikor hazeh hanikra shechina. All of those neshamas, no matter what level they're at, they're only from the spreading of this source from its mikor hanikra shechina, which is called the shechina, ki hispashtus ha'or me'ashemesh. Like we understand the emanation of light that comes from the sun. What does that mean? So that means that just like the rays that come out of the sun, depending on where the rays are and how close and how far, that's how certain crops are going to grow better in California than they're going to grow in Milwaukee. Or even in Seattle, for instance, where it's cloudy, I don't know how many days of the year. Whereas if you take them down to near the equator, where the sun shines the majority of the days, you're going to be able to grow certain things there. Each one is going to be according to the erech of the sunshine there. Now we're up to the top of page Ayin Gimel. Avla Shechina Atzma. But when we're talking about the Shechina itself, she reishis hagilui v'ikari, which is the beginning of this emanation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, if you will, this energy source, Okay, although the Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of all the energy, but there is an energy source which he created which allows this earth to be mispashit from him. It is the source of how the Infinite One allows the worlds to come into existence. This concept of Shekhinah is the energy source. It is the power station. Let's use that term, okay? It's the power station from which all of the worlds are sustained and energized. Because all of the chiyus that exists in all the elamas are only from the energy that comes out like it is a ray from the sun. And he's drawing a critical distinction here between the rays as they exist outside of the sun compared to the light that exists in the sun. Because we all imagine that there are rays within the sun as well. But no one will ever get to see a ray that's in the sun because it's in the sun. And it's completely absorbed and not just clouded over or insignificant, but it's completely, it's nothing. It has no status, it has no standing within the sun itself, okay? So too must we understand. Efshar la'olamos, it would be impossible for the world's lisboil to tolerate ulekabel and to receive or shchinosa, the light of the shchina, shetishka v'tislabish b'toich hamamish, to be embodied and contained in any one of the worlds below the bush hamalim umaster oramehem. Even though it's not God himself, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam created this power station to power the worlds, it still would be impossible for the worlds to exist if they were powered by that power station itself, called the Shekhinah, without tremendous forms of transformers and concealers to conceal that light. Now, there's a huge problem. Shalei yizbatlu b'metzias, because they would cease to exist legamre, in total, b'mekoyram, in their source, kibitul or ha-shemesh b'mekoyram, just like the light of the sun is totally nullified in the sun itself, b'guf ha-shemesh, in the sun itself, she'enir sham arzeh, there is no light which can be seen there, rak etzem guf ha-shemesh b'vad, the only thing that can be, can in any which way, be perceived or seen there, is the sun itself, the ball, the fire of the sun. So too, in that power station called the Shekhinah, there cannot be any form of energizing of the world. So what do you do? So the Ribbono Shel Olam has got to create a sheath. He's got to create a master. But that's ridiculous. Because the master itself is going to be one of those creations which itself is created of the Shekhinah, which is going to be bottled just as much. So what are we going to create? An emanation that's going to conceal an emanation? Because you want to conceal the emanation, because the emanation is butl in its source, but the emanation that's going to conceal it is going to be butl in the source as well. So this is an exercise in futility. You hear the problem?
There's no transformers.
There are no transformers if the transformer itself is made up of the energy. So you want to transform energy where the transformer itself is made up of the same energy that you're trying to transform. What do you do? Says the Baal Tanya, Umahu alavush yuchal astir. What possibly could the Ribbono Shel Olam have created as a lavush that's going to conceal this energy? It itself is going to be nullified with the very creation that he's trying to create. It has the same problem that of the creation that he's trying to conceal. Oh, so he answers. Do you know what the concealer is? So if you want to contain something, you got to use a container that is going to be able to tolerate and temper what you're putting in it. Right? It's not a good idea if you want to put up a hot chult on Erev Shabbos to put it in a pot that's made out of wax and put that on the flame, right? You got to put it on something that's going to be able to tolerate the heat. So too, when the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to temper the Ur, the Shekhinah, he has to use something that's harder than, that's more powerful than, that has a greater tolerance than the Ora Shekhinah. What is that? That's Ritzayna V'Chachmasa. That is his Torah and his mitzvahs. Torah and mitzvahs become the containers. They become the hardeners, the sheath that allows the Ora Shekhinah to go into each world. Let's see it inside. Again, go back to Omar. What can possibly be the Levush that has the ability to conceal and to contain the Ur of the Shekhinah, but it shouldn't be nullified in its Ur? The answer is, it's two things. It's the Ratzon Hashem, which is mitzvahs, Hashem's commands, Hashem's desires, and his Chachma, which are contained directly in Torah and mitzvahs, haniglis lanu levaneinu, which are totally and completely revealed to us and to our children, as the pasuk says. And how does that have the ability? Why is it not subject to the same rules of being an emanation of the Shekhinah? Because de'iraisa mechachma nafkis. Because the language of the Zohar is that Torah comes from Chachma. He Chachma ilah de'le'ela le'ela mi'alma dizgalya. It is a Chachma which is far higher and deeper than is the world which is revealed. As we learned earlier, de'iu chakim, the Rabbeinu Shalom is wise, v'le b'chachma yediyah, but not with any form of a known wisdom. As we wrote earlier, that the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unified and one with that highest wisdom. Hashem and his wisdom are completely and totally inseparable. They're one. Rock. But we must understand, the Torah itself went through the process of lowering from level to level to level. It too, Torah itself goes through this concept of the chain of the world, until it becomes contained and embodied in physical things, Shehem Taryag Mitzvah HaTorah, which are the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. So now, you have Anochas Tefillin. Clearly, the only place that Tefillin exists in their physical form are in the physical world. Okay, in Olam HaYetzir and in Olam HaBriya, before there's Olam HaAsiya, there is no Tefillin. But nonetheless, the godliness contained in the mitzvah of Tefillin, the Ratzon Hashem that's contained in it, is not watered down. It's only tangible. It's made physical so that we can fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Now, we're told, for instance, that Yaakov Avinu fulfilled the mitzvah of Tefillin, where he, in the issue there with the sheep and the stripes and the spots and that whole thing, what did he do? Since he existed on a higher plane, so he was able to tie into it on the level of one of the higher Olamos. But nonetheless, it is no less Tefillin for us when we do it with the leather boxes. In fact, once Maamad Har Sinai took place, it is the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillin, is in their physical form. So the Torah and mitzvahs, due to the fact that they come from a higher, deeper place than even the highest emanation in the highest of worlds, they are able to act as the tempering agent that allows all the worlds to continue to exist. Now, here is the clincher. Ubiyiridasa, when Torah itself is lowered, bishtalshalus, in this chain effect, ma'ilam la'ilam, from world to world, gama shchina yarda, the shchina comes along with it. It's a package deal. V'nislab shabah, and it is able to be contained b'chol oilam v'yolam, in each and every world. Gam hashchina yod v'zashba b'chol oilam v'yolam, v'zehu heichol kod shekadoshim shebechol oilam v'yolam. This is how we refer to the Holy of Holies in each and every world as it exists. Okay, it becomes, the Kodesh Kadoshim becomes the source of Kedusha in each world. As is brought in the Zohar and in the Eitz Chaim from the Arizal, Sheashchina, that this concept that we've been talking about, called the Shechina, Shehi Malchus Da'atzilus, it starts, this concept of Shechina, begins at the level of the Sphira of Malchus in the highest world called Atzilus. See the brackets. Shibchin is Gili Ur in Sof Baruch Hu. It is the first place of the revelation of Hashem's infinite energy. V'chiyu Shemeh Leilamas, that it illuminates the world. U'lecheini Nikras Devar Hashem V'ruach Piv Kaviyochel. For this reason, he says a very practical thing. Malchus, that Mida, that sphere called Malchus, is referred to as Dibur. Why? Because the function of Dibur, before texting existed, used to be the way that people communicated. Right? So if you wanted to communicate an idea to somebody, Dibur is not needed for yourself. You could be caught up in your own head from today till tomorrow without ever speaking a word. The function of Dibur is to communicate to somebody else what you are thinking about. Therefore, it becomes representative of the Midah of Malchus. Malchus is the first step in HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to the world. That's why it's called the word of Hashem, Viruach Piv, or the spirit of his mouth, Kaviyachol, Al Derech Mashal. Just like in a human being, Dibur reveals Hashem's machshava. That which is concealed to those who can hear. And he mislabeshes beheichel kodesh gedoshim debria. So now, remember the worlds as they go from the top down are Atzilus, Bria, creation, Yetzirah, formation, Asiya, which is our world of action. Okay, so when it goes from the world of Atzilus, and the lowest point in Atzilus is this concept called Malchus of Atzilus, which allows the world of Bria to come into existence. Okay, now, so ubislabshusen b'malchus de bria, and then when it goes down to the next level of malchus of the next world down, then nivru aneshames v'amalachim shebebria. That's the place where creation can take place in that world. So in malchus of bria, that's where the highest neshames are created. That's where the angels are created. V'gam misham nimshach haTalmud shelefaneinu. Get a load of this. That's where our Gemara comes from. When a person learns Gemara, they're connected to Malchus of Bria. Okay? K'may shekasav to the El B'shem HaTikunim, like the Tikunim wrote, Sheba'olam HaBria mi'ires u'mashpia sham chachmosai u'binosai v'dayte shalein tzayf baruch hu. Because in that world of Bria, that's where it is illuminated, the Chachma and the Bina and the Das, which are the intellectual components of the infinite. B'pchinas Tzimtzum Atzum, it is on such an incredible transformation. B'chdei sheyuchlu haneshamas v'amalachim she'em ba legevul v'tachlis l'kabel hashpa b'pchinas Chabad Eilu. It is to such a degree that creations are able to grasp the wisdom of that world. Well, that takes a lot of watering down to make it that a creation is able to grasp a godly idea. That takes an infinite amount of watering down of that level. They are limited beings, and nonetheless, they're able to receive that understanding. For that reason, that's the source of the Talmud, which is a very intellectual process. that learning Talmud is an intellectual exercise. And for that reason, it is tied into this world, which is the seat of the highest midas, which is the intellect. Okay? Remember that in the formation of the midas, it starts with Chachma Bin Adas, which are the intellectual component. And from there, it goes down to the character traits of Chesed and Gvur, of kindness and strictness and other, but those are lower than that. So what's the highest access point? The highest access point is not the midas. The highest access point is going to be the intellectual basis, which is that which is intellectually graspable on some level. Sha'atalmudu tame halachas. What is the Talmud? You want to analyze the Gemara. It is the reasons for the halachas, al-Buryan, in the clearest way possible, v'atamim, and the explanations behind them, Hemchines Chachma Bina Das, that is Chabad, v'halachas atzmam, whereas the source of the halacha itself is inexplicable. Hem atzmam, hem emidaisav shalein tzayv baruch hu. The halachas themselves, not the explanations, but the laws themselves are from the midas, meaning Shem Chesed, Din, Rachmim, like we learned last time. They are that which is mutter is chesed, that which is aser is din, and then you have that which is rachamim. Shemehem nimshacha heteva iseva koshava posava chiyava ptur, like we learned in Paliyotz last time. That's where you have the concept of that which is permissible, and that which is forbidden, and that which is kosher, and that which is posel, that which is culpable, and that which is exempt. That all comes from midos. The why, as to why that's the case, that comes from the intellect. Right? So it gives a little glimpse into, all kidding aside, into the difference between men and women. Women are viewed as very emotional beings. Right? There's the famous joke of, how many women does it take to change a light bulb? 3. Why? Because I said so. Right? It's only partially funny because they are emotional beings. You can't get down a lot of times to the explanation. It's not subject to the explanation. It is straight emotion. Whereas men are supposed to be intellectual. That's why men learn Gemara and women don't learn Gemara. This is the explanation for it, because the women are tied into the midas. They need to know the halachas. Tell me what to do. Whereas the man is supposed to be the intellectual, more intellectual component, who's supposed to be able to dig into the reasons behind these things. That's from the Chachma Bina Das. Ubi slabshus malchus d'atzilus v'malchus d'bria. When you have the malchus of atzilus, which is the highest level of malchus, and it in turn connects a world down in malchus d'bria, and then it's mislabeshes behechol kodesh kedoshim d'yitzira. It then goes into the next world of yitzira, shu chabad yitzira, which begins again. You got to start at the top, which starts with the chachma bina das of yitzira. Ubi slabshus malchus d'yitzira. But when it finally hits the lowest point in yitzira, which is the malchus of yitzira, there's a new creation that comes into being. There naitzur haruchos. There you have a new level. Not neshama, but a lower level. Ruach. There you have the next level called the spirit. And then there's lower angels that are created in the world of Yetzira. This is amazing. Talmud comes from the Olam Habriya. Mishneh comes from the Olam Hayetzira. Okay? Why? She halachas psukas. The Mishnah is straight halacha. No explanation in the Mishnah. It's the dry law. This is how it is. Hanim shachas gam ke mechachma bin adash shalein soif baruch hu. They too come from the Chabad, from the chachma bin adash of the infinite. Rak shabchines chachma bin adash shem tame halachas. On this level, the intellectual explanations of the halachas hem miluvashim ignuzim begufi halachas. Phenomenal thing here. anybody who really has gone through Shas numerous times can learn Mishnayos. And when they learn the Mishnayos, they have access, or they understand the reasons behind all these things, because they're contained and concealed in them. I'll take it a step deeper. What would the next step be? Somebody who's even got greater insight. What can they do? How can they access? They can just learn Chumash. They said, Devil Nigoyin, Saif Yamav, learn straight Chumash. He saw everything. Everything he saw in the Chumash. Because ultimately, that's really, if somebody's really got it all, they can just go back to Chumash. Well, the next level would be just going back to Aleph Beis. He's right. But they're concealed in the level of Mishnah. It's not revealed. It's on a concealed level. It's not there in a revealed way.
Why isn't it higher then?
I don't know. And the halachas which are revealed as halachas, here's what's unique about Mishnah. Due to the fact that Mishnah is made up of straight halacha. So, and we discussed earlier that the halacha is comprised of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mutter, aser, pater, chayiv, right? Kosher, puzzle, and so on. So it is the revealed form of those midos in actuality. Deshis svira and mikanen in yitzira, they are on the level of yitzira, says the Tikkun HaZoher. Shein derech klal, in a general way, we learned this a few weeks ago, they are shnei kav in yamina smer, there's chesed and gvura. Lohakel, when we're lenient, it's mesita de chesed, that comes from the angle of chesed. Dainu lahatir, that is, that to permit. Sheyuchel alis al Hashem. What does permit mean? To be matir something means to untie it and allow it to ascend or to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The opposite of that is to be stringent and to use it as a preventative thing that stops a person from getting into dangerous territory. But don't ever forget that all of it, no matter which form it appears in, whether it's in the Gemara or it's in the Mishnah, it is all based on Chachma Ilah, the highest wisdom, Datsilus, of the first emanation. Ubina Vidas, and whatever form of extrapolation and broadening of the ideas, Klulais Ba, it remains connected to the original source. Umiyuchades Bein Seif Baruch Hu, and they remain unified with the infinite. Why is that? Kibetech Kulan. Always, at all times, no matter how far out you go in the halacha, no matter how far you deal with the Mishnah Berurah, which is a pirish on the Shulchan Aruch, which is a pirish on the Torah, which is the Rambam and the Rosh and so on combined, which is a pirish on the Rif, which is going back to the Gemara, you know, which is going back to the Mishnah, you're all the way out there. The stream, the inner stream, is always going to be Milavoshes, Chachma, Bina, Das, Datsilus. Contained in all those is going to be the wisdom of the first emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, miyuchad behem betachlis ayichad, one remains unified with the original source in the absolute unity, because, as he said earlier, Hashem is the knowledge and the knower at the same time. Simultaneous, along with this process, b'derech zayyod ha-shechina, the Shechina came down as well, v'nislab sh'be'echel kodesh kedoshim, the Shechina travels along with the Torah. And it is embodied in the chamber of the Holy of Holies, de'asiya, in our world. And so too, v'chol ha'ilam, there's a kodesh kedoshim in each and every world, migibol ha'ilam is of all of the worlds. Elo, mischalek, lirevavos, madreges, there isn't only just three kodesh kedoshim, but there are tens of thousands of levels in each of these worlds. Hanikrois, gamken ha'ilam is pratim, they are individual worlds. Umachus, da'atzilis, mulaveshes, b'malchus, shokol ha'ilam prati. This Malchus of Atzilus is contained in every one of those hundreds of thousands of millions of worlds.
it is contained as a string throughout them, and Yeredes Umislabeshes Behechot Kodesh Kedoshim. In each of those worlds, it is contained in the chamber of the Holy of Holies. Shehu Chachma Bina Dash Ba'edim Shalamatim Edim Madegi. Each world, it's a chain that continues to flow from one to the next. Vehine Mishchina Hamuluveshes Behechot Kodesh Kedoshim Shokol Eilam Ba'edim Kloli Eprati. From that Shechina that is contained in the chamber of the Holy of Holies of every single one of those worlds, the general ones, the four general ones, or the millions of ones in between. Nimshach umispashet mimena, from there comes forth Er v'chius, the sustenance, the energy, the chol, ha'olam v'habruim shabai, to all of the creations that exist in its circle of influence, neshamos, whether we're talking about the human souls, umalochim, or the angels, ki kulam nivru basar mamarish shebemayis bereshis, because all of them are created with the 10 utterances of bereshis shem dvar Hashem anikur b'shem shechina. That goes back to the same term that we said earlier, which is the word of Hashem. Dibur is the malchus that we've been talking about. It is the Ema Ilah, it is the Maternusa. The reason he says earlier is it's called the Maternusa is that the queen is the one whose job it was to make known the word of the king. She was the one who translated it into action. She was the one who brought it to the people. And therefore, it is also synonymous with the concept of Shechina, which is the concept of the Dvar Hashem, which is Maisa Bereshis, which is the first utterances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brought the world into existence and continue to sustain the world. But it's all dependent upon the fact that there is a barrier, that there is a tempering agent that allows that Shechina, the Ara Shechina, to exist. And what is that tempering agent? That's something that's greater than, that's deeper than, that's higher than the Shechina itself, which is Torah and Mitzvahs. Because that emanates from Chachma, which is from a higher, deeper place than does the Shechina itself. And as a result, because of the Ratzon Hashem, it is able to act as the barrier to allow Hashem's emanation to continue to be diminished as it goes through each of the worlds and allows each of the worlds to continue to exist. And we'll see next week how that becomes relevant to our action in Kiyum HaMitzvahs.
The term of the mitzvahs we're referring to is